Alleluia. Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
King Herod heard about Jesus, for his fame had become widespread, and people were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why powerful works are at work in him. Others were saying he is Elijah. Still others, he's a prophet like any of the prophets. When Herod learned of it, he said, it is John whom I beheaded. He has been raised up. Herod was the one who had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. Herodias had an opportunity one day when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. His own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, ask of me whatever you wish, and I will grant it to you. He even swore many things to her. I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even half my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? Her mother replied, the head of John the Baptist. The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made a request. I want you to give me at once, on a platter, the head of John the Baptist. The king was deeply distressed, but because of his oaths and the guests, he did not wish to break his word to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. He brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. The girl, in turn, gave it to her mother. When the disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, as we come to the penultimate lesson in our biennial 4-week liturgical meditation on the letter to the Hebrews, given literally to encourage the first Christian between the persecutions of Nero and Domitian, we get to the characteristics of a disciple and a leader, an apostle, anybody in a position of authority. They're all based on what we would have heard a couple days ago, the real moral exhortation of the letter to the Hebrews. Keep your eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, the leader, and the guide and perfecter of faith. To keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, we see 5 qualities that flow from it. First, brotherly love. Christians are always going to be distinguished by the way they love each other, including those who are more difficult to love. Hospitality. We recognize that when we welcome a guest, we're welcoming Jesus in disguise by his own words. Be mindful of prisoners as if sharing their imprisonment. Jesus himself was imprisoned for us. And so we seek to treat prisoners the way we would treat Jesus in prison. This was revolutionary in the ancient world. First, prisoners were always needed to be cared for by their family. But it wasn't just immediate relatives that Christians were caring for. Tertullian, Origen, all the early ones say how shocking the behavior of Christians was toward those who were imprisoned. They treated them like nurslings, little babies in need of everything, and they sought to provide everything. They ransomed, when they could, people from prison. They accompanied them all the way to the end. There was great purity among Christians. Let marriage be honored by all. The marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge the immoral and the adulterers. They recognized that love was supposed to be loving, and they sought to have their eros purified by their agape. And then they were grateful to God for what they had. They were content with Him, and they recognized they didn't need everything else. That's why it says, let your life be free from love of money. Be content what you have. For He said, I will never forsake you or abandon you. It's an opportunity for us to look with simplicity at these things. We'll return to them in a moment in the gospel. But then it lists some qualities of Christian leaders. Once we have grown this way through virtues, keeping our eyes firmly fixed on Christ, the guide and perfecter of our faith, we learn those whom we should follow. Remember your leaders, it says. First thing they did, who spoke the word of God to you. Leaders were constantly passing on what they themselves had enfleshed. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Christians look ahead to that supreme moment and that we prepare for it so that when it happens, we're ready. If it happens to be a martyrdom, even today, we are ready. If it happens to be through a bad diagnosis and through suffering at the end, we are ready. Real Christian leaders show people how to both live and die so that they might live forever. Imitate their faith. That real leaders don't just talk about the faith, but they show it so that people are able to grow in faith not just by their ears, but by their eyes. It finishes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why is that there in context? It's there precisely because we can't think that the Word of God has an expiration date. That just like those who have gone before us marked with the sign of faith were true to the Lord, so we likewise are called to take the Word of God just as seriously, that it hasn't attenuated in any way in its solicitation for us to love. St. John the Baptist, we see in today's Gospel several of these principles laid out. He was the one who spoke the Word of God. It is not right for you to commit adultery. It's not right for you to commit incest. It's not right for you to marry your brother's wife. We consider his outcome faithful until the end. We seek to imitate his faith in the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. His faith in the Lord so that the Lord might increase as we decrease in others' eyes. That a true Christian leader is one that brings people to Jesus rather than let them slam the brakes in a relationship with the leader. In his case, we see the care for prisoners in the way that the Christian community sought to care for him. His own disciples sought to care for him. We see how the marriage bed was dishonored by Herod and Herodias. We see how the love of money and sensuality so corrupted Herod. Herod went from the sixth commandment to the fifth. The more we break one, we break others. Today the church celebrates the feast of St. Josephine Bakita, and likewise the World Day of Prayer for the victims of modern slavery and human trafficking. I was so lucky to be present at her beatification. I wasn't there for her beatification. I was there for St. Jose Maria's beatification. And I didn't know much about her at that time, but I'm so happy that I got to know her then, because she's one of the most compelling examples in modern times. When she was 7, she was sold into slavery. Sudanese slavery was among the worst. You were beaten even when you obeyed, just to teach you lessons ahead of time so that you'd never think of disobeying. She was sold sequentially to 5 different masters. One of her masters showed up one day. She tried to be as docile as possible, but showed up to one day with 3 different things. flour, salt, and a razor blade. That master, an Arab Muslim, made 114 different intricate designs with the flour on her breast and on her back. And then he took the razor blade and followed the pattern. She was bleeding because of so many wounds. He took the salt and he poured it into her flesh so that the wounds would never heal. She bore those wounds and 40 others that she had received from various beatings till the very end of her life. They were a constant reminder to her of what she had endured, what her living enslavement was about. But her fifth master was the Italian consul, and eventually the situation got too difficult in the Sudan that he had to be recalled for a short period of time to Italy for him and his family's safety. And he took Bakita, literally meaning fortunate. She didn't know what her parents had called her. There was so much trauma after her kidnapping. They brought Fortunate with them. Eventually they needed to return to Sudan when it was a little easier to scope the situation, and so they entrusted her to a family that they were friends with. That family was Christian. She went with them one day to church and she saw this bloody Italian crucifix with Jesus' lacerated wounds. She found meaning for her own. She said, up until this point, I had a perone, the corrupt Italian version of master. Now I know I have a true perone, one who actually loves me, one who cares for me, one who is kind. When the consul returned and said it was safe, come back with me, Bakita, she refused. She sued in Italian, the courts, and because of Sudanese law about the liberation of slaves, which had never been enforced, she was able to remain home in Italy. She became very close to the Kenosian sisters. 6 years later, she professed as a Kenosian. And over the course of the rest of her life, as a portress, as a cook, and as an infirmarian, she cared for her fellow sisters. She was so beloved by the students at the Kenosian schools that they all fought for the privilege just to have her tap their head. She was one who spoke the word of God. She was suffering very much at the end of her life. They used to ask her, "How are you doing, Sister Josephine?" And her memorable response was, "As the Lord desires, doing exactly as the Lord desires, His sweet will be done." She spoke the word of God. Let us consider the outcome of her holy way of life and imitate her faith, because the same Jesus who was with her, who liberated her from slavery, is with us, the same today, now, and forever. As John the Baptist points him out here for us, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Praise be Jesus Christ.